And the Afterglow is made possible in part by the generosity of Superior Energy in Vernon. Superior service you deserve. Serving the residential and commercial propane needs of Connecticut and Southern Massachusetts since 1939. Now is the perfect time to learn about the efficiency and cost-saving benefits of being powered by propane. With 24/7 support and state-of-the-art scheduling technology to simplify your busy life, just sit back and leave all your heating, cooking, and energy needs to the experts at Superior Energy. Your energy bill and the environment will thank you. Call 800-242-0427 or visit propanect.com.
You're in the Afterglow. Good evening, I'm Father John, and this is a radio program. No, not your mother's radio program. This is your father's radio program. I'm Father John. Well, it's good to have you drop in. Come on, make yourself comfortable. Get yourself something non-intoxicating to drink. Put up your feet. Relax. Think of a time when something wonderful happened to you. Now, when you recall that experience, How do you feel? Happy again, no? Now think about something you deeply desire that you know at some point is going to show up in your life. For example, getting a promotion with a huge pay increase. Or finding the love of your life. Retiring to your dream house on the lake. Having a child. Or how about a new grandchild? Receiving a scholarship. The happiness grows in intensity, doesn't it? This is good. May your feelings of expectation coincide with actual events that will finally be occurring in your life. What you really desire, may it all come to be. And it will, if you'll just relax with me and enjoy our time together. To unwind, untangle, get it all together. It's Friday, the 22nd day of October. So tell me, where is this month going? Slow me down, Lord. And help us spend some valuable time together in the Afterglow. We're together in the Afterglow, a place to relax, think deeply, breathe freely the goodness of life, and enjoy the feeling that comes when you take time to think good thoughts about yourself and appreciate the person that you really are. Well, as we page through the history books, carefully noting events of times gone by, we see that today in history, the entire world feared that the end would come at any moment. 1962, the height of the Cold War, caused the Soviet Union to begin building nuclear missiles in Cuba. When President John Kennedy discovered the Soviets' plan, it appeared to be a direct threat to the United States. In response, President Kennedy commissioned a blockade of any weapons or parts delivered to Cuba. It was on this day, back in 1962, that Kennedy let the nation know about the potential attack. The situation became known as the Cuban Missile Crisis. For 6 days, American ships sat bravely around Cuba, preventing any weapons from coming into Cuba as the tension could be felt around the world. The Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev negotiated with Kennedy on a way to prevent an outbreak of war. Eventually, it was decided the Soviets would not bring nuclear arms to Cuba as long as America promised not to invade Cuba. The entire world breathed a sigh of relief as the threat of nuclear war was avoided. It may have been the scariest moment in America's history, but we got through the Cuban Missile Crisis together. That was 59 years ago today. Do you remember? And today marks the birth anniversary of a real stooge.
How rude! How could you be so mean?
No. He was literally a stooge, as in the Three Stooges. Today is the birth anniversary of Jerome Lester Horwitz.
Who?
Well, you know him better as the nyuck-nyucking Curly.
Lightning!
Yes, Curly was the brother of fellow stooges Mo and Shemp. The two older brothers groomed Curly for a life in show business, and he got his big break back in 1932 when brother Shemp left the Stooges. Curly took his place, and his manic style of slapstick comedy quickly made him popular. Sadly, on May 6, 1946, while shooting his 97th Three Stooges film, Howard suffered a stroke and subsequently retired. He died on January 18, 1952. But we will always remember Curly as a member of the not-so-bright but lovable Three Stooges. And in the afterglow, we remember Curly on the 118th anniversary of his birth.
Isn't it rich? Are we a pair? Me here at last on the ground, you in midair. Where are the clowns? Isn't it bliss? Don't you approve? One who keeps tearing around, one who can't move. Where there ought to be clowns just when I'd start opening doors. Finally knowing the one that I wanted was yours. Making my entrance again with my usual flair. Sure. Don't you love fuss? My fault, I fear. I thought that you'd want what I want. Sorry, my dear. But where are the clowns? Send in the clowns. Don't bother, there he isn't it rich? Isn't it queer? Losing my timing this late in my career. But where are the clowns? There ought to be clowns. Maybe next year.
That was Judy Collins with Send in the Clowns. I'm Father John, and together we're in the Afterglow here on WJMJ, clowning around a bit. And if it takes a few clowns to get you to cheer up and de-stress, well, naturally, we'll send in the clowns. Time to piece together the individual bits and fragments of life to try to get a vision of the whole picture. So let's journey now toward the intersection of where faith meets life. Now remember this, talent is cheaper than table salt. What separates the talented individual from the successful one is a lot of hard work. When a NASA rocket takes off from Cape Canaveral, it uses up a large portion of its total fuel just to overcome the gravitational pull of the Earth. Once it has achieved that, it can virtually coast through space for the rest of its journey. Likewise, an amateur athlete often puts in full training days with heroic self-discipline for years. But after winning a gold medal or a world championship, offers for endorsements, spokesperson contracts, speaking engagements, retail merchandise deals, and other entrepreneurial opportunities often come pouring in, allowing them to slow down a bit and take advantage of the momentum that they created earlier on in their career. Likewise, in any business or profession, once you have paid the price to establish yourself as an expert, a person of integrity who delivers high-quality results on time, you get to reap the benefits of that for the rest of your life. Now, creating momentum is an important part of the success process. In fact, successful people know that if you are willing to pay the price in the beginning, you can reap the benefits for the rest of your life. Business consultant Marshall Thurber has said, "Anything worth doing well is worth doing badly in the beginning." Remember when you first learned to drive a car, to ride a bicycle, to play an instrument, or to play a sport? You understood in advance that you were going to be very awkward at first. You assumed that awkwardness was just a part of what was required to learn that new skill that you wanted. Well, not surprisingly, this initial awkwardness applies to anything that you undertake. So you have to be willing to go through that awkward stage in order to become proficient. Children give themselves permission to do this, but sadly, by the time we're adults, you know, we are so often afraid of making a mistake that we don't let ourselves be awkward, so we don't learn the way children do. We're so afraid of doing it wrong. Now, Jeff didn't learn to ski until he was in his 40s, and in the beginning, he was definitely not good at it. Over time, with lessons, he got better. Kathy didn't start playing the piano until she was 58, and it took her a long time to become proficient. You see, to gain a new skill or get better at anything you want to do, you have to be willing to keep on going, even in the face of looking foolish and feeling stupid for a time. That's where faith meets life.
From the day that I met you, girl, I knew that your love would be everything that I ever wanted in my life. From the moment you spoke my name, I knew everything had changed. Because of you, I felt my life would be complete. Oh, baby, I need you for the rest of my life, girl. I need you to make everything right, girl. I love you, and I'll never deny that I need you. Thank you.
That was I Need You by Mark Anthony. In the Afterglow is where we are on WJMJ at 88.9 on that overcrowded FM dial where you've got so many choices of radio stations to listen to. Thank you for making the choice for WJMJ. I'm Father John. And thank you for sharing some of your personal time with me this evening. I appreciate it. Now, today marks the birth anniversary of a photographer who brought us up close and personal to a turbulent time in history. Robert Capa was born in Budapest, Hungary in 1913. He originally wanted to be a writer, but he fell in love with the art of photography while working in Germany. His first big assignment was the Spanish Civil War during the late 1930s, and it was during the war that Capa took the picture that made him famous. The Fallen Soldier featured an armed man falling to his death and became world-renowned when it appeared in Life magazine. The rise of Nazism forced the Jewish Capa to move to America. He returned to Europe during World War II in order to capture American soldiers in battle. The regiment that he followed was one that stormed Normandy on D-Day, and Capa's pictures are some of the grittiest and up-close photos from that war. Sadly, it was this dedication to getting the perfect shot that led to his death. Capa stepped on a landmine while following French troops in the 1950s. But Capa's life still lives on in his amazing photographs, and that's why we remember him in the Afterglow on his 108th birth anniversary. Now tell me, have you ever been told something that sounded sort of fishy or made you instantly skeptical? Statements like that are what created World's End Day. It's a day to commemorate a group of people who believed something that they shouldn't have. In the 1800s, a Baptist preacher, farmer, and avid Bible reader, William Miller, began telling people that he predicted the world was going to end soon. He gained followers, and soon the movement became national thanks to the publication of a paper called Signs of the Times. It was on this day in 1844 that Miller predicted it was going to be the second coming of Jesus, which meant the world would end. As many people waited for the end of days, nothing happened. I'm guessing you figured that out, since we're all still here today. And there have been many more doom prognosticators predicting the world's end ever since. When the world didn't end, Miller's followers were confused and didn't know what to do. Some guessed the world would end on a later date, but most gave up on Miller's ideas altogether. The moral of the story is, trust your gut when you hear something that you don't really think is true. Don't make the same mistakes as others, especially on World's End Day.
Why does the sun go on shining? Why does the sea rush to shore? Don't they know it's the end of the world? 'Cause you don't love me anymore. Why do the birds go on singing? Why do the stars glow above? Don't they know it's the end of the world? It ended when I lost your love. I wake up in the morning and I wonder why everything's the same as it was. I can't understand, no, I can't understand how life goes on the way it does. Why does my heart go on beating? Why do these eyes of mine cry? Don't they know it's the end of the world? It ended when you said goodbye. Why does my heart go?
do these eyes of mine cry? Don't they know it's the end of the world? It ended when you said goodbye.
Well, that was Nancy Sinatra with The End of the World on the day of all days, World's End Day. It's part of the Afterglow. And in the Afterglow is where we take time to relax and replace the stress of life with some positive messages of hope. The world isn't ending today, and that's positive. Now relax. It's story time in the Afterglow. Yes, you know, I have good memories of our church when I was just a boy. Our church would sometimes have potluck suppers, dinners in the church basement. Tables would run from wall to wall as 150 people or so would crowd in for the feast. And the serving table would always be groaning under the weight of all the different dishes that people brought. There would be baked ham, turkey, mashed potatoes, rolls, lasagna, green beans, baked beans, cornbread, pies, cakes, you name it. All ready to fill every stomach and warm every heart. Children would be running in and out while adults talked and laughed and enjoyed being together. Soon grace would be said and the plates would be stacked high with all the fantastic food. It was such a wonderful time. Everyone was happy. The happiest of all seemed to be the mothers and the grandmothers who had spent so much time cooking the wonderful delights before us. They got to not only enjoy the dinner themselves, but also to see everyone else enjoying the meal that they had prepared. And that is what gave them their most joyous smiles. To me, this is what it meant back then to be church. And you know, life can be a lot like a potluck dinner at times. There's so many different and wonderful things to feast upon. There's so many delicious dishes to delight in. The greatest joy of all, though, comes from sharing what you bring to the table. The most lasting happiness of all comes from feeding others from your own heart, soul, and mind. Are you ready to bring your own course to the feast of life? God gave you something special to prepare and to share. It is up to you, however, to bring it to the table. You are the cook of your own goodness, your own love, and your own life. Put on your apron, then. Throw in a dash of delight and make it the best dish that you can. Then bring it to the table and set it down with a smile. You will be amazed at how much it will add to the feast. Come to the table. You will be overjoyed at how much you will nourish the souls of everyone around you. Something to think about.
Come to the table and savor the sight, the wine and the bread that was broken, and all have been welcomed to come if they might. Accept as their own these two tokens. The bread is his body, the wine is the blood, and the one who provides them is true. He freely offers, we freely receive. To accept and believe him is all we must do. Come to the table and taste of the glory, and savor the sorrow. He's dying tomorrow. The hand that is breaking the bread soon will be broken. And here at the table sit those who've loved him. One is a traitor and one will deny. Though he's lived his life for them all, and for all be crucified. Come to the table, he's prepared for you, the bread of forgiveness, the wine of release. Come to the table and sit down beside him, the Savior wants you to join in the feast.
Come to the table and see in his eyes the love that the Father has spoken, and know you were welcome, whatever your crime, though every commandment you've broken. For he's come to love you
and not to condemn, and he offers a pardon of peace. If you'll come to the table, you'll feel in your heart the greatest forgiveness, the greatest release. Come to the table and taste of the glory, and savor the sorrow. He's dying tomorrow. The hand that is breaking the bread soon will be broken. And here at the table sit those who have loved him. One is a traitor and one will deny. Though he's lived his life for them all, and for all be crucified. Come to the table, he's prepared for you, the bread of forgiveness, the wine of release. Come to the table and sit down beside him, the Savior wants you to join in the feast. Come to the table, he's prepared for you, the bread of forgiveness, the wine of release.
In the Afterglow, that was Come to the Table by Michael Card. Here we are in the Afterglow, a time of meditation and music, and we've got inspiration and reflection topped off with prayer. Confucius said, "It does not matter how slowly you go, so long as you do not stop." Ah, truer words were never spoken. You succeed by not stopping. The question you need to ask yourself is, if this principle works in routine, everyday occurrences, why wouldn't it work in all areas of my life? Of course, the answer is that it does. I'll bet if you reviewed your success in your own life, you would find this principle at work. You don't have to be extra smart. It does not matter what sex, race, or color you happen to be. What counts is not quitting. You're guaranteed to lose if you quit. You never know what will happen if you just keep going. So go as slow or as fast as you need to go, but whatever you do, please do not stop. And do not stop meeting me here in the Afterglow each evening. And bring along some friends. We're friend-friendly. So tell them all that just after 7 to 8 o'clock each weekday evening, we've got a date in the Afterglow for some relaxing time, free of stress and sheltered from anxiety in the Afterglow on WJMJ at 88.9 on that FM dial and heard around the world on WJMJ.com. We're internet friendly as well. Now, turn on the light. You'll see better. Do you believe in your kids? Then show up. Show up at their games. Show up at their plays. Show up at their recitals. It may not be possible to make each one, but it's sure worth the effort. Do you believe in your friends? Then show up. Show up at their graduations and their weddings. Spend time with them. You want to bring out the best in someone? Then show up.
Stop the clocks, it's amazing. You should see the way the light dances off your hair. A million colors of hazel, golden and red.
Night prayer is coming up, but first, let's let God's Word talk back to us in today's Word.
Oh, I will hold on to the afterglow.
Today is Friday of the 29th week in Ordinary Time. How is it you do not know how to interpret these times? Have you ever seen those magic eye pictures? They're just a mass of color blobs, but as you stare at them, a three-dimensional picture emerges. If you watch a group of people staring at one, you'll hear some exclaim, "There it is!" But others respond, "There's nothing there, I can't see it." To which the first one replies, "Of course it's there, open your eyes, it's obvious." But some people still can't see it. You can imagine Jesus sounding a bit exasperated as he confronts a similar situation. The people around him can actually see into the future. They can predict from the clouds what the weather will be the next day. But they can't recognize what's going on around them. They can't see God at work among them, even though he is standing in front of their faces in the person of Jesus. We should probably feel some sympathy for them. It's not easy for anyone to interpret today's events. We can see how foolish the people were to reject Jesus then, but that's only with the benefit of hindsight. If we look back over our own lives, we understand events more clearly now than we did when they occurred. So we sometimes say, "If only I'd known then what I know now, I would have acted differently." So, how do we discern what God is doing today? How are we to understand trends in our own culture? It's hard, because God's not a machine which repeats things automatically, nor an artisan who works to a pattern. But we do know that he involves himself in our daily lives, so we can begin by looking for the signs of his presence there. We know that he sends teachers and leaders, so we can listen for the sounds of his voice in them and in our friends as well. The important thing is to keep looking and listening. We may not understand the whole of God's picture, but at least we will see a bit more than a meaningless mass of color blobs. Take a look for him now.
How can I just let you walk away? Just let you leave without a trace? When I stand here taking every breath with you, you're the only one who really knew me at all. How can you just walk away from me? We share the laughter and the pain, and even shed the tears. You're the only one who really knew me at all. So take a look at me now, 'cause there's just an empty space. There's nothing left. Just make it turn.